really looking forward to this meeting. And in fact, I've been fasting and praying and asking the Lord to, you know, lay that burden in my heart to share with you, to build up your faith. And as I was praying this morning, I just sensed that whether it is someone here or someone that you know, that there's this fear of death. You know, I sense that there's this a fear of death, like a death spirit that hovering over you, that something bad is going to happen to you, whether is it you or your loved ones or someone you know. I want to join our hearts together to pray. We're going to rebuke this fear of death, because the perfect love of God cast out all fear, expel all fear. And I also felt that someone may have a pain at the right ankle, you know, and it's a bit sore when you walk, it's a bit painful, be it you or someone you know. I'm going to pray tonight. You know, I felt the led of the Lord to pray tonight. If you have a pain in the right ankle, I believe God wants to remove that pain. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that you come to give life, and life more abundantly, life to the fullness. Lord, I rebuke, I reject right now the fear of death that has torment and punishment. Lord, I come against, oh God, this heavy burden hovering. Whoever that is, Lord, we rebuke it, we command it to go. Lord, I pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our mind and our heart in Christ Jesus. Lord, I release your joy, your peace, to know that, Lord, we are in your hands and nothing happened by chance or coincidence, but you know of all things, that you are with us. Even though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, we fear no evil because you are with us, and your staff and your rod, they comfort us. Lord, I want to pray for whoever that have this pain at the right ankle. We command this pain to go right now. By your stripe, Lord, we are healed. Lord, right now, I speak your supernatural touch right now and remove this pain completely in the name of Jesus. And Father, we commit this night before you. We pray that every word spoken, Lord, Lord, anointed, fill me, O God, Lord, with the unction of the Spirit to declare your word boldly, and let your word go forth to bring faith and accomplish that which is set out to accomplish. So tonight we commit this whole meeting into your hands in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. You know, testimony is important. And, you know, if God has touched you or you have, you know, experienced intervention of God, it's good to let your pastor know, your church knows. I grew up in a church in the early days where every Sunday there'll be testimonies, you know. And when I was in the mission field at the church that I kind of minister with, God moved powerfully, and we always have lots of testimony. In fact, it's an everyday affair that healing is taking place. I was working with 1,000 small groups, 1,000 cell groups. And our instruction for the cell groups in the city of Medan was that when you go and visit someone, especially the newcomer, the first thing you ask is there any sick people here? And if they say yes, then you go and pray. You know, and as you pray, God will confirm his word with signs and wonders. And we have many healing taking place. And when someone is healed, you know, we will ask them, would you open up your home to host a house meeting, you know, a house church or a cell group? Because when you invite the presence of God into your home, you will be blessed. And many of them, first time they got healed, they give their heart to the Lord, they open their home. That's why we are able to multiply so quickly to 1,000 cell groups. And the moment they have the cell group in their home, they start to get good jobs. The kids start to do well in schools. And then their relative will start to get healed. And we start to invite the neighbors to come for the cell group. And this is really the church in action. No, the Bible talk in the book of Acts says that daily souls were added into the kingdom of God. So today I want to share with you, and I will share some PowerPoint. And if you want my face to be next to a PowerPoint, you can configure it how you want to view it. But I just sense that I need to share with you from the scripture. it's so important that we look at the word, because the word is so crucial for us. Now, how to receive your miracle? That's a topic that was given. And I'm excited when Pastor James Fu asked me to share this, because I am passionate about the supernatural, really, you know. And I still remember at the onset of my ministry, I went to South Korea for 1.5 months. I locked myself many days at the prayer mountain, crying out to God, God, I pray that you use me, anoint me to declare that your kingdom is here, you know. And the Bible tells us that we can assess the kingdom of God's reality. And whenever the kingdom of God comes and invade the earth, the supernatural reality of the kingdom of God will override the natural reality of the world. In fact, Matthew tells us that as you go in your workplace, as you go in your jobs, as you go in your neighborhood, into the school, you are to preach, you are to proclaim the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is here. And it says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demon, freely you receive, freely you give. So it should be part of our lifestyle. When we go, we should be expecting people to be healed, people to be cleansed, you know, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, because freely we receive from God the gifts, his grace, salvation, restoration, deliverance, healing. Freely we release to people. Now, I believe we are into two rhymes, the rhyme of the natural world and the rhyme of the kingdom of God. You know, and the kingdom of God, the moment Jesus came into the scene, he declared, the kingdom of God is here. And every time when he healed the sick, when he did miracles, when he cast out demons, he says, the kingdom of God is here. What he's saying is, the kingdom of God now has invaded the earth. So he taught the disciples to pray. Pray, your kingdom come. Where? To the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done. So the will of the kingdom will be enforced on the earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth, it loses in heaven. So there's going to be what we call invading the kingdom of God, continually invading the earth, invading the earth. Now, we know in theology, right, the kingdom of God is here, yet the kingdom of God is coming, yet the kingdom of God will be fulfilled in the end times, okay? Just as we are saved and we are being saved and we will receive the fullness of salvation on that day. And it's like here and yet, you know, will be kind of a situation that we are in. And we know ultimately when the kingdom of God comes, you know, we will reign in the earth, you know, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess, the enemy is totally defeated. But right now is, how much is the kingdom of God coming to earth? How much? How much is the kingdom of God, the will of the kingdom of God invading the earth? How much? Well, it depends on you. How much do you want? How much do you want to declare? Everywhere you go, you declare the kingdom of God is here. So we are to enforce, we are to extend the kingdom of God. We are to enlarge the kingdom of God, you know. And we are to say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. First of all, in my life, right? In my little kingdom, my life, you know. And then it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we are to bring down heaven to earth. You know, some people says, oh, you know, in heaven there's fullness of joy, or wait till I go to heaven, I experience the presence of God. Look, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. You can bring heaven down on earth. You know why? Because Jesus now is in you. Christ dwells in you. And the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit now is in you, your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you are the carrier of God's presence. You're the carrier, you're hosting the presence of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Everywhere you go, you're the carrier of God's presence. And when we allow the presence of God, the reign of God through us, as we reign with him, it will affect people around us, because we are a change agent. We are the salt and the light of the earth. And salt and light is everywhere they go, they change their surrounding. All right. Darkness is there because of the absence of light. When the light is there, darkness disappears. Same with salt. You know, you put salt in your food, it changes the taste completely. And so it's so important for us to recognize that while we are on earth, we are not citizens of the earth. I mean, we are citizens of the earth, of our country, but we are also citizens of heaven. And we are born again into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. You know, and now we have two lives in a sense, the one that lives on earth, the one that lives in the heavenlies, in the kingdom of God, that abide by a different value system, a kingdom value system, a kingdom culture. And it's a supernatural kingdom. So, you know, we should be supernaturally natural. So miracle should be so natural because, you know what? Miracle is when God intervenes into worldly affairs, when God intervenes into the laws of the earth, all right? This is called a miracle because the supernatural will always override the natural. And we ourselves are a miracle because we are born again. You know, we have the spirit of Christ. You know, we are resurrected with Christ and we have his life and we cried out, Abba, Father, and we have God in us. If God is in us, if God is for us, who can be against us? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So in a sense, we and our salvation, we being born as sons and daughter of God, we are a miracle itself. And right now is we got to not just walk on the earth and be so worldly and to be so rooted onto the earth, but we must be spiritual, you know, walking in the heavenlies, sitting with him in the heavenlies, reigning with him, because we know that we don't just be bound by the law of nature, but we are to impose the law of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want to share with you very quickly five action steps, all right? Five action steps. Now, the five action steps, I believe the word five is, you know, is grace. It's really the grace of God. How we can experience miracles, how we can receive our miracles, how we can access into the supernatural kingdom of God and make that into our reality where we are. Now, the first steps that I want to share with you is that, first of all, is that faith through the word of God. Now, everything that we can access from the kingdom of God is by faith, not by your good works, not by your performance, by faith. Over and over again through the scriptures, all right, it is very clear that we are saved, you know, and we access that salvation through our faith, you know. And so Romans clearly tell faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of Christ, hearing the word of God. Now, faith is not on our positive thinking, not on our abilities, but this faith is given from God. God give us the faith to believe. Can you imagine how good God is? He tells us that we need faith, and then he give us faith through his word. So when we hear the word of God and we believe his word, faith arises. So when we proclaim the word of God, and when the word of God go forth, someone hear it and accept it and believe it, faith comes. And faith assesses the supernatural of the kingdom of God. Now, it is so important for us to know as well that the word of God spoken by Jesus is as powerful as the word of God spoken by you. We are made in the image of God. God spoke and the word came into being. Remember, life and death is in the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So what we speak as a child of God, when we speak God's word, when we align our voice with God's voice, there is power that will go forth when people hear it and faith arises. That's why, you know, the word of God is true. The promises of God is yes and amen. Now, here was Peter. The mother-in-law got sick, had a high fever. Jesus came, bang, fever left, just like that. You know, whenever sickness and Jesus come together, sickness will have to go. All right. And then in the evening came, people brought many demon process, and he cast out the spirit with a word. By the word, he cast them out. And he healed all who were ill. Not some, but all. Now, what Matthew wrote here is, hey, all this happened is a confirmation of God's word. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53, 4 to 5, that he himself took our infirmities, you know, and he carried our diseases. On the cross of Calvary, there is a divine exchange that took place. I remember one of the sessions I talked about divine exchange with all of you. So God's word is being confirmed here, you know, and you can trust God's word completely. What he says will come to pass. His promises is yes and amen. Now, Peter saw and experienced the miracle, the healing miracle of his mother-in-law. That's why in 1 Peter, he wrote, you know, Jesus bore our sins in his body on a tree, on a cross, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. Now we have his righteousness. Then he says, by whose stripe, by his wound, you were healed. Now you got to understand, all right, this is a comparison here. Okay, Jesus bore our sin. Now we have his righteousness. Jesus was wounded. You know, he was beaten by his stripe, you were healed. So he exchanged that for us, all right? He bring healing through his, you know, he brought peace to us through all that he went through. He brought emotional healing, mental healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. And over again, it says, David understood that God will send his word and heal them, rescue them from the grave. And let us thank God with our voice for his unfailing love and his wonderful deed. You know, faith, no matter how little it is, this is a mustard seed, all right? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, I'm not saying that you got to have big faith, you know. The Bible says even if it's so small, just by believing one word of Christ is enough to tell the mountain be moved from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now, when I thought about it, a simple word of God, when you believe it, when you begin to embrace that word, faith arises and faith will activate the supernatural. It will activate the supernatural. And, you know, the spoken word is so important. We need to read the word. We need to hear the word. See, if every day we are hearing all the bad news, you know, all the social media, all the gloom, doom, the economy, the pandemic, the war in Ukraine, if we feed our ear gate and our eyes gate, you know, and, you know, with all the negative words coming out, we'll be gripped with fear. We'll lose confidence. We are fearful about the future. We'll be full of anxiety. And many people are having mental challenges, mental health challenges due to this pandemic and what's going on right now. You know, the stock market and the debts, the mounting debts that the countries are having by the trillions of dollars. But I want my ear and my eyes to hear and see the goodness of God, the word of God, because it brings faith for us to access, to tap into the resources of God. The world will tell you, you will not have enough, but the kingdom of God will tell you, I have more than enough for you. Amen. The world will tell you, you're weak. Yes, when I'm weak, the kingdom of God says, I am strong. That's why he says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because as we declare what God says who we are, as we begin to confess with our mouth what God says we can have, who we are and what we can have, faith arises and we tap into the supernatural provision, protection, and the work of God. And we can demonstrate God's power, and God will always confirm his words with signs and wonders. he will back up his words. We don't have to try, you know, to kind of support God's word and be embarrassed if the word don't come to pass. But no, God will do it himself. Amen. So I'm excited. So the first action we must take is, look, if you want to grow in your faith, you know, and if you want to build up your faith, then you've got to tap into the word, the spoken word of God. And it is there then you can access the supernatural reality of the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to go on to the next action steps. The second action steps is by faith, expect the impossible. I like what Pastor James said, you know, you got to ask. If you don't expect and you don't ask, then nothing is going to happen. There must be the expectation. See, the spirit of expectation or the spirit of expectancy is key to receiving the miracles. In other words, is you must have a deep desire, a deep expectancy. And it is with that that you cry out to God and with that faith that expect the impossible, you'll find that oftentimes God will come and grant us the desire of our hearts. Now, Hebrews, we can quote this verse, you know, backwards, Hebrews 11, 1, the famous verse about faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You know, we have this expectancy, we have this hope, we have this desire and the conviction of things not seen. We haven't seen it yet. We haven't touched it yet. It hasn't become a reality yet. But faith reaches out into what is the invisible to make it visible, you know, things not seen to become seen, to be seen. And here it says here, you know, and the people, for by it, the people of old receive commendation, you know, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. That means calling the invisible things to become visible. And that's what this expectancy is all about. You got to expect, you got to visualize, you got to begin to picture yourself. Because you see, without this faith, it is impossible to please God. You know, and he says that God, as we draw near to God, we must believe that he exists, even though we can't see him, and that he will reward those who seek him, those who are pursuing him with expectancy, those who will pursue him with that hope to know that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we could imagine or even ask. That expectancy, that hope. I am really sad that many people, they don't experience miracles because they never expect miracles. They always say, oh, miracles happen to someone else, not me. You know, I maybe other people, they hear the testimony of healing, provision, and, you know, miraculous open door and getting jobs and God, you know, helping them out to miraculous way. Oh, yeah, they happen to other people, but to me, maybe I'm not good enough. It's nothing to do with how good you are. It's you believing in God's words. Is you taking hold of God's word, say, God, you said it, I believe it, that's settled. And here was a Canaanite woman. She's not even entitled to a miracle, all right? Because Jesus came for his own, you know? And he says, look, please, you know, heal me. And Jesus said, look, I'm not sent to you, you know, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But you see, she wouldn't let go. There's such a desire and expectancy and tenacity and perseverance. She hang on to Jesus. She came and knelt down before Jesus. Lord, help me. And Jesus wasn't very kind with his word. You know, he answered, it's not right to take the children's bread. What is the children's bread? Healing. All right. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What Jesus is saying is you actually a dog, you know. I mean, it was hard words. That lady could have got offended in today's culture, you know, the cancel culture, the politically correct, you know, politically correct words, you know, that would be really offensive. But, you know, the expectancy, nothing is going to dissuade her. She said, yes, Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Can you imagine that? Even a little bit also, you know, the dog deserves it. And Jesus answered, oh, woman, great is your faith. Now, not just faith, you know, great. Great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. See, sometimes our desire must be so consumed us to see God intervening supernaturally. You see, if you don't believe in miracles, I guarantee you, no miracle will happen to you. But if you desire to see the kingdom of God manifest in your life and through your life, you're going to see lots of miracles. In fact, every day there'll be miracles around you, you know. And so here you are, cases of a woman with the issue of blood, you know, and she knows she's unclean, but yet she pursued Jesus with great expectancy, never let go, you know, just to touch the hem of his garment. Can you imagine that? You know, he don't let her condition, oh, I'm unclean because, you know, I have the issue of blood, but yet she pursue it with great expectancy. If I can just touch the garment, the expectancy, and straightway, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your diseases. You know, then came the leper in Luke 17 as well. They cry out to Jesus, you know, and Jesus healed them. He said, your faith has healed you. So we need a faith that's filled with expectancy, you know. And Bartimaeus, he didn't just sit there. Well, you know, if Jesus want to heal me, you know, a lot of people say, if Jesus want to heal me, he heal me. Look, it's not like that. It doesn't work that way. See, faith without action is dead. You got to act on your faith. Bartimaeus, he's not going to start. He's scared. Jesus, David, no, son of David, have mercy on me. He was yelling. Everybody's trying to shut him down. But he's not going to stop until he gets Jesus' attention. Well, straight away, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Wow. Your faith has healed you. Now, before we go into step three, how desperate we are to see the kingdom of God come. How desperate we are to see God intervening. You know, because I always believe that the more we cry out to God with great expectancy, acting on our faith, faith without action is dead, we will begin to see God. We will begin to see God moving in ways that we never dream of. In fact, the supernatural in your life will become so natural. And I, as a minister for the last 30 over years, everywhere I go, I don't expect the worst. I expect the miraculous. I know the problem with today is we always expect the worst. We are very good at expecting the worst. We are very good at prophesizing the worst. Oh, this will happen to you. Oh, you'll get sick. Oh, you're going to lose money. We are very good at prophesizing the negative and expecting that. Why not pour change? Let's expect what God says. That when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, let the weak say I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Begin to declare the promises of God with great expectancy. You know, I have walked by faith for so many years, you know, and I said, Lord, I want it to be part, it should be part of my DNA. Even when I came to Australia, you know, to study, I have enough money for 6 months in Bible school, and yet God provided miraculously. And I got married while I was a student in Bible school. I saw God's provision of a car, provision of the finances that I need. And you know, just last night, I had the privilege of leading someone to the Lord in my home. You know, invited them for a meal at my home. And you know, when you invite someone that is not a believer, a pre-believer in your home, this is the best time to share the gospel. You know, once they eat the good food, they're quite satisfied. Their hearts are open now. And I was able to lead this person to the Lord. And I share with this person the miraculous work of God in my life. You know, and I knew that when God called me to drop everything, to come to Australia to plant a church without any confirmed support or whatever, I know that when I walk by faith, and we are to walk by faith, we are to live by faith and not by sight, that God, they call you, will provide, that God that guide you will always provide. And you know, I can tell you story after story how God provided a scholarship for my daughter in the private Christian school from grade school right through year 12. I can tell you story how God provided the building, you know, and 30 of us, and how, you know, students and elderly, and how God provided. And I share with you in the church how it's fully paid now with a two-story extension. Everything is miraculous, because I believe and that I should walk in the spirit and walk in the supernatural kingdom of God. I'm part of the kingdom of God. I'm born into the kingdom of God, and I should live with kingdom culture. There are times whereby I open my wallet, I empty my bank account, I give everything I have when the Lord told me to give, you know, and literally everything. And then God supernaturally provided ways that I couldn't understand. Now, how to receive your miracles is not just healing. It could be provision. It could be open doors. You know, it could be promotion. I still remember, you know, how when I start to say, Lord, I'm going to travel for mission. You know, I'm going to go by faith. When you go to third world country, you don't have offerings, so you got to live by faith. And I said, God, if you call me, if you guide, you will provide. I still remember someone rang me, you know, and I mistaken that person for somebody else. But actually, when I saw him, I only seen him once in church, you know, and we didn't really even talk. And he said, I need to pass you something. So I was at the airport. I said, okay, fair enough. You know, I'll see you at the airport. So he came by the airport, gave me an envelope. And before I could talk with him, he said, oh, he got to go because his car is waiting outside. And when I opened the envelope, there was $600 Australian. I don't even know this guy. So again, supernatural provision. But you got to expect. You know, once I visited my niece, and she fell down and she kind of twisted the neck, and it was very painful, and there was a bit of concussion. And I went to visit her, you know, then as an uncle and a pastor, I said, how are you? And this and that, you know, encourage her. And then I was about to go off, and the Lord said, how come you never pray? Okay, you know, look, if you don't pray, you don't expect nothing is going to happen. And so, okay, you know, I visit her, now I should pray. So, okay, can I pray for you? So I lay my hand and begin to pray and pray that the pain will be gone and so forth. And after I pray, quickly, I can't walk out of the room, never even ask her, how is it? And before I could reach the door, she shouted at me, uncle, something's happening. And she told me the pain completely gone. She twists her neck and all that. It's completely gone. Now, God rebuked me, you know, said, you should always pray for the sick. In fact, you should always look for the sick to pray for them. The more you pray, the more you expect, the more the miracles will happen. So this is the action step we need to take. You know, we need to really, with expectancy, by faith, begin to reach out. Now, the third action step, very quickly, is pressing on in the waiting. Some healing happens instantly. Some healing happens progressively. Some healing happens a few, you know, months or even weeks or years away. But you keep pressing on. In fact, my favorite encouragement for many people is, as long as you have breath, don't stop asking. Don't stop pressing in faith. Until you got no breath, you can't ask anymore. Okay, finish. That means time is over, you know. But as long as you have breath, never stop. You know, do not be sluggish, but imitate those who, through faith and patience, press on. Now, there are many great men of God who actually never got the promise, but they press on so that future generation realize the promises. You know, Hebrews tell us they all die in faith. They didn't die in doubt. They didn't die in unbelief. They died in faith, not having received the thing promised. So again, faith has nothing to do even with the answered prayer. It's that you continue to believe. You know, God's way ahead in our ways. There'll be many things on earth that we can never fully understand. Why some are not healed, why some are healed, why some are rescued from the prison like Peter, and other are killed like James in a prison, why John the Baptist was killed in a prison and not rescued by the angel. We don't know, all right? Because our time is in his hand, and our job is to trust. You know, we don't worry about why some are not here, why God take them home now. God in his divine plan, his ways are higher than our ways. But our job is not to tell God what to do, but to persist in prayer and believe his word. Leave the outcome to God. I always say, I do the praying and God do the healing. I leave it to God. And he says, they have not received the promise, but we know that we, because of them, we receive that which is better, you know? And all these were commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, you know? And again, they're commended not for their good works. They're commended not for, you know, their achievement or their performance. They're commended only for their faith, for their faith. You know, I'd rather die rich in faith than rich in my achievement, in my performance. I want to die in faith. And so I want to encourage you, because a lot of people don't ask for the miraculous because they are embarrassed. If I ask and if God don't answer, I feel embarrassed for God. You know, I better not embarrass God. Look, you don't have to worry about God. You know, you don't have to be embarrassed about God. You just obey his word. Okay, when I was 18 years old, I woke up in the army barrack. I was doing my national service. I woke up in the army barrack, couldn't breathe. My nose was completely blocked. I was gushing for breath in the army barrack. For a moment, I thought I'm going to die. My whole nose was completely blocked. In fact, when I was breathing through my mouth, it was very hard. Then I discovered that I have sinus. That was the beginning of my sinus journey. It was hell. Throughout the week, if I have one day a clear nose, that's a miracle. You know, I'll be sneezing. I'll be dripping nose and nose block. I'll take antihistamine like crazy. You know, those that make you sleepy, I can take 2 tablets and still be awake. So for years, I cried out to God for healing. I never stopped. Every morning I wake up and nothing happened. At the age of 18, when I went to Indonesia as a missionary in 1996, all right? So, you know, I was 96, I was like 36 years old. And I'll be preaching in crusades. I'll be laying hand on the sick will be healed. You know, and I will be teaching in a Bible school, but I still have the sinus. In fact, sometimes I'll be sneezing in between my teaching, you know. I think the student look at me and say, what on earth is happening? And I ask God, how come you heal everybody, not me? You know, everybody I pray for heal, I pray for myself, nothing happened. But I persist, pressing in the waiting. I say, no, I'm going to reject the symptom. I'm healed and I'm not going to allow the symptom to control me. You know, I rebuke the symptom. I ignore the symptom. Yeah, you are there, but you're not there. I wouldn't accept it. And then at the age of 40, one day, I woke up and I realized it's been a month I have clear nose. Till today, I have no issue with sinus. Even through the difficult hay fever season, you know, I'm still able to breathe properly without any issue. Now, what I'm saying is this, sometimes we don't understand God's timing. I say, God, why don't you heal me earlier? But I tell you, I remember one day I was driving for early morning prayer meeting, 6 o'clock prayer meeting earlier, and I was crying. I said, God, why don't you heal me? Why don't you, you know? But God, I'm not going to stop asking. I'm going to keep knocking, you know? Ask and seek and knock. I'm going to keep knocking. And true enough, it just disappeared like that. And I'm able to pray for people that have sinus issue. So my church, in the early days, every time when spring is here, the attendance will drop. You know why? People got hay fever, asthmatic attack, you know. I got so sick of it. So you know what I did? I told my church, hey, enough is enough. We're going to tell Mr. Hay Fever, you're not welcome. You're not welcome to my body. You're not welcome to my family. You're not welcome to my church. You see, what happened is every springtime, we are ready. Hello, Mr. Hay Fever. Good to see you again. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my family. We can't expect hay fever to come. We expect, we get ready. You know, wow, all vitamin C and taste. We are getting ready for Mr. Hay Fever. Why do you accept Mr. Hay Fever? So I told the church, I think it's time we stop. It's time that we press in God and say, God, we're going to say to hay fever, enough is enough. No, you're not welcome. We're going to reject. We're going to tell hay fever, you're not welcome in my body, in my family, in my church. In fact, we're going to reject hay fever so much until Mr. Hay Fever feels so rejected and leave. And guess what? Amazing. When we press in faith, when we begin to great expectancy, suddenly the symptom of hay fever got less and less, especially some people, they always get asthmatic attack. Suddenly they don't have asthmatic attack. Suddenly the symptom get less and less. And we never had that issue ever since, because every year, springtime, we're going to tell Mr. Hay Fever, you're not welcome. Go away. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes we don't understand, but stand on your ground. Stand on your faith. It does not matter whether it's instant healing, partial healing, you know, a process of healing, you know, and just reject the symptoms and begin to proclaim God's supernatural enabling. All right, very quickly, we're going to take action number 4. And this is very important. We have to deal with our unbelief. You know, one of the biggest challenges I've felt that in, you know, as I serve the Lord for the last 30 over years, is I find that there are many unbelief believers in church. Unbelief believers. There are believers that don't believe. It's an oxymoron, you know. You have believers that, yeah, I read about Jesus, you know, say, you know, as you go heal the sick and all that. The word of God says it, I believe, but then I don't believe that this is a reality. So you know why? When you don't believe in miracles, you have to form a theology to explain away miracles. You have to form a theology to explain away the supernatural kingdom of God. So verses that say, as you go, you know, Mark says, lay hand on the sick, they shall be healed, and you cast out demons. But that is belongs to the apostle age, you know, not now. So what we do is we form a theology to affirm our experience. Instead of looking at the word of God, what does the word of God say? No, if I give to a new believer to read the word of God, you know what the new believer, when he read the word of God without the influence of denominational standing and all, you know what the new believer will tell you? Yeah, God said like that one. You just believe. Whatever God says, you believe. You know, a simple person that don't have some wrong teaching background, in simplicity, reading the word of God in simplicity, you know he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's still the God that healeth me. Jesus, the only time recorded that Jesus could not do many miracles, because everywhere Jesus go, he says all were healed. All were healed. Only one place that says that he did not do many miracles. You know why? Because of their unbelief. They took offense. You know, many people are offended by God. They felt that God is not answering their prayer. God is answering everybody. And they took offense on God. Maybe I'm not good enough. God is not happy with me. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm not the God's favorite child. Look, God loves all of us equally. All right. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. God loves, so love, the great love for us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God. So I've come across people that are offended by God over something, you know, and maybe they were hurt by the church, hurt by spiritual leadership, and they got offended, they get angry with God, you know. But you don't do that, because when you do that, you rob yourself of God's intervention in your life. You basically tie the hand of God. And God is so gracious, he wants to pour out the blessing on you, but his hands are tied by our offense and by our unbelief. Remember, Adam and Eve did not believe God, rather they believed the words of the devil. And you see, James, James is so clear here. He could ask in faith without doubting. You know, a lot of people, they ask, but yet they don't have the belief to believe. They just ask for, well, okay, let's pray. You know, worse is okay, there's no other option, so we only left to pray. You know, look, prayer is the first option. And we gotta ask without doubting, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea and is driven and tossed by the wind. for that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Don't even suppose you're going to receive anything from God. If you ask with doubt, for a doubt-minded person is unstable in all his way. It's an oxymoron. Unbelief believers, and there are many, many, you know. And Jesus already clearly says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. And immediately the father, the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. I believe this is a prayer that all of us need to have. And many times I cry out to God with this prayer, God, I believe, please help my unbelief. Take away my doubts. Take away my doubts. Lord, take away my unbelief. Now, before I go on to step, the last one, the action step five, I want to challenge all of us. You know, it's amazing how much unbelief there are in the church today, whereby we can have good theology, we can have orthodoxy in our theology, we can be right in our interpretation, but yet we lack that firm belief. Like what Pastor James says, you know, that when we believe, we have to act it out. We have to stand on that belief. We have to, you know, faith without action, James said, is dead. And oftentimes we pray, but then our action is reversed. Our action is one of unbelief. It is when we are totally abandoned into the hands of God, in total abandonment. They say, God, without you, I'm gone, I'm finished. Without you, I'm nothing, you know. But with you, I am able to do exceedingly abundantly above, more than I could even imagine and envisage myself doing. So unbelief is something that we have to come before God and say, Lord, let your word come in and dispel all my wrong believing. See, sometimes the unbelieving is the result of a false belief. You know, a false belief value system, a false belief system in our mind. It could be from wrong teaching or it can be from experience in life. So what will happen is we will take the experience. Oh, see, not everybody get healed. So we take the experience. We begin to let the experience and the circumstances define who God is rather than let God's word define who he is. So we form our theology in our mind. Oh, I'm not anointed, you know, I'm not anointed as Pastor James Foo and all the evangelists. I'm just a normal church attendee. Sorry, it's the same Holy Spirit that anointed Jesus is in you. It is the same words that Jesus said, you know, as the Father sent me, I send you. You are being sent. You are being empowered by the same Holy Spirit. And we got to tap into that. Say, God, your words say this, I believe it, that's it. And when we go forth, you know, we will see God. You know, if you can do it on your own, with your own strength, with your own resources, then you don't need miracle anymore. You don't need even to pray. But it's when we are facing with the impossibilities that we see God pouring out his miracle. You know, and God wants to do that. That's why if our vision of ourselves, if our goal in life is something that you can achieve by your own strength, by your own ability, then that's not a faith goal. You know, it's not what God wants. You know, God wants us to be beyond and above, to believe him for more than we ever, you know, imagine. And that's what God wants to do, because he wants to give us life to overflowing, life more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy the resources and the provision of the kingdom of heaven. There's no lack in the kingdom of heaven. There's no shortfall. It is always more than enough, overflowing. Okay, lastly, I want to go on to action number five. You know, five is really a number of grace. And this is so important, is to release forgiveness, because this will block the miraculous work of God. This will block the healing of God, the provision of God. Very clearly, it's amazing how much tie in with forgiveness and unforgiveness with the miracle All right. In Mark 11, 23, it started by saying, truly I say to you, whoever say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. All right. Of course, the verse before is have faith in God. All right. It will come to pass when we have faith in God and not doubt. It will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you receive it. Believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. If we ask and our hearts believe that we won't get it, you won't get it. I'm going to believe I get it. But again, faith is something that's not sin. I'm not sinning yet, but I believe it. It's settled, you know. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. See, it tied 25, verse 25, with the rest about faith in God and moving mountains and believing to receive the miraculous. And it tied that look, if you are praying for a miracle, you got to forgive. Because unforgiveness blocked the flow of God's miracle. Look, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. You know, forgiving others is so, so important. It's so important because sometimes, you know, we can develop such a, what we call a, you know, we don't talk about it. You know, we are offended, right? We kept the offense, and then the offense become bitterness, resentment. You know, and look, in church are filled with imperfect people, hurt people, and hurt people. Church are filled with hurt people, and hurt people hurt people, you know, hurt others. The church is not a showcase of perfection. It's a workshop. And that's why we need to come to church to find grace in God, not for each other, the strong to help the weak and all that. And in this church, I'm not telling you, you'll be disappointed. You'll be disappointed by your pastor. You'll be hurt by your pastor. I'm a pastor, all right? So many times I've come before my church, please forgive me if I've hurt you through my word, through my action. Because we are weak people. We are all damaged goods. We are all in the process of allowing God to sanctify us, to make us holy. We are all in this journey of discipleship to become more like Jesus together. And we are to the strong help the weak. We are to bless those who curse you. We are to, you know, come alongside each other and think of others more highly than yourself. And again, you know, again, the scripture tells us, sorry, I set the alarm clock to tell me that my preaching is up. So I want to encourage you because you see, I in my ministry have seen many people. I remember trying to cast out demon on someone the whole night, couldn't come out. And we managed to wake the guy up, you know, in a sense that, you know, to find out what's wrong with him, a girl rather. And the whole night, man, I tell you what, it was one of those very difficult cases. And this person, this lady suddenly said, I hate my mother. I hate my mother so much. I'll never forgive her. And we told her that if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. And it is that the moment when she broke down, she said, okay, I forgive my mother. And she started to cry. Instantly, the demon came out. So again, you know, many times, you know, why aren't the blessing flowing? Because there's a blockage somewhere. There's a blockage. See, to me is, the default mode is God will always want to bless you. God will always want to do something more and beyond what you ask. So when you ask, God don't just give you what you ask. He always give you more. He give you life and life more abundantly. But it is the removing of blockages like unbelief, like unforgiveness. Once you remove that, then the free flow of God's miraculous supernatural will fill your life. And I want to challenge you, you know, holding on to grudges, holding on to offense is one sure way of robbing yourself of the blessing and the wonderful supernatural work of God in your life. But when you release all this to God, you know, and as you release forgiveness, as you begin to say, Lord, help my unbelief, as you hang on there, then you see that God will always confirm his words with signs and wonders. See, God cannot go back on his words. His promises is always yes and amen. So wherever you are right now, whatever situation you're in, whatever condition, how long, like me, you know, for years and years having this sinus thing, I want you to know that it's not over yet. As long as you have breath, it's not over yet. You pursue right to the end with expectancy, faith on the word of God, and you will see God moving in a powerful and wonderful and miraculous way in your life. Now, over my life, I can share with you many, many, many incidents of God's provision, of God's healing, of God's mighty works. My wife got angelic encounters, and we saw supernatural, you know, things that is beyond our explanation. But you see, it got to be so supernaturally natural for us, because you know why? We are part of the kingdom of God. We are part of the unshakable kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not of this world. It will override the world. So we are natural when we expect the supernatural. So I pray to God that from this day forward, you will begin to walk your life intentionally with great expectancy of the miraculous. All right? Of the miraculous. Like last night, I said, God, I'm going to pray. This person must come to know the Lord. You know, and we've been praying for this person for a long time. And last night, it was such a joy to say that, yes, I want to receive Christ into my life. Wow, you could see the smile on his mother's face. You know, the mother had been praying for him for years. And finally, he gave his heart to the Lord. So I want to encourage, as I say, salvation is the greatest miracle. You know, I have friends that prayed for the salvation of their loved one for years. Nothing seems to happen. I have a pastor friend who prayed like almost close to 35 years. Nothing seems to happen. The father is far, far away, you know, not wanting to go to step into a church. And then one day, supernaturally, the father decided to walk into the church and he gave his heart to the Lord. He not only gave his heart to the Lord in the old age, in his 70s, all right? His son-in-law was planting a church in Sydney. He was the greatest evangelist. As a 70-year-old, he'll go to all the marketplace, you know, he'll go to Haymarket, Chinatown, and then he'll begin to talk to all those Chinese students that was before the Tiananmen Square those days, you know, and pull them to the church. And man, they will have a lunch for all these students, and then they'll preach the gospel, and there'll be like 150 packed in that place of Chinese students. And he is a top evangelist. I mean, the son was like, whoa, never could I have imagined. All I wanted was my father to be saved before he passed away. He not only got saved, but he became the top evangelist in that church planting work. See, God is able to do beyond and above. This is itself a miracle. You know, so tonight, what is it that you need a supernatural intervention? What is it that you need a divine intervention? Is it something to do with your health or healing or for finance or breakthrough or family issue or maybe a lost child, you know, a prodigal son or daughter that gone away from the Lord that need to come back? God is able to do it. Only believe. All things are possible to those who believe. I want you to just bow your heads in a word of prayer. Right now, wherever you are, I know the Holy Spirit is speaking right now. The Holy Spirit is speaking to different ones at some part of the meeting. You know, God is speaking to you and challenging you right now. And I want you to just let the Holy Spirit begin to minister to you right now. I felt the presence of God. I just felt a wonderful presence of God here right now. Would you let the word of God find a place in your heart and germinate and begin to build up your faith right now? Maybe something you have asked for years and you have stopped asking, God is going to revive that. I have a friend who had an encounter with the Holy Spirit and he has stopped praying for his loved one to be saved. And when the Lord challenged him to ask, to expect a miracle, he started to pray more urgently with great expectancy. Within 1 year, the brother came to know the Lord, the sister came to know the Lord, the brother-in-law, the sister-in-law, the father, the mother, the whole family came to know the Lord within a year. That's a miracle. All these years, I give up already. I stopped praying already. You know, church, as long as you have breath, you have the power to ask. You have the power to cry out to God. Just like the Canaanite woman, just like the leper, just like Bartimaeus. Don't stop crying out. You will have your miracle. You will have your miracle. His promises is yes and amen. And the more you ask, the more you press in, the more you're going to see the flowing of the grace of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to pray right now. Lord, you see every heart, every soul, every ear under the sound of my voice. Lord, you know them personally. You know them by name. You saw them in their mother's womb. Lord, all the days of their life are written in your book before one of them come to pass. Lord, you know their cry. You know their deepest desire. You know their needs. Lord, I pray right now that you come. Let your kingdom come in their lives. Let your will be done in their life right now, on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I release your supernatural reality of your kingdom right now to come. Let your kingdom, Lord, invade their lives, invade their family, invade their circumstances right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that the door of heaven will be wide open. You pour out right now blessing to your children whom you love so much. Beyond and above, as you have given us your son, what more would you not give unto us when we ask of you? And you have given us your Holy Spirit to be with us always, 24/7. What more will you not give to us? So God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for faith to arise. We resist every doubt right now. We pull down every wrong belief system, every wrong belief, Lord, values that we have. We pull it down right now and bring it under the subjection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And Lord, we release right now your truth to set us free, Lord, to receive and posture ourselves for your miracle. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. Oh, we give you all the glory and the power in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen.